Welcome back to On the Same Page. I'm your host, Emma Kirsting. On the Same Page is an Ithacan podcast where we dive into the top stories in news, sports, and life and culture at this paper by talking to the reporters who wrote them. This week for news, we spoke to senior reporter Alyssa Beebe about the African Latin Society alumni commemoration. Then, for sports, we spoke with senior reporter Jess Moskowitz about the Polar Plunge and the varsity athletes on campus that were involved in it. Then, with Life and Culture, we spoke with reporter Taylor Borash about the Fairy Fest that took place on the Commons. Let's get right into it. I'm here now with senior reporter Alyssa Beebe, who wrote an article this week for The Ithacan about the Afro-Latin Society's alumni commemoration. Alyssa, welcome to On the Same Page. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about this piece.
Hi, yeah, I am Alyssa Beebe. I'm a documentary studies and production major, and this was an article about the Afro-Latin Society's commemoration of demonstrations that they conducted in 1970, and there were alumni from their generation all the way up until current students to commemorate.
Yeah, that sounds like a great event. So can we start with physically, where were you to do this reporting? So did you do like some interviews in advance and then you went to the event? And then like, if that's the case, could you just kind of like describe what the reporting was like in a general sense?
Yeah, so because this was a historical event, a lot of research on the front end went into it. So I was shifting through older issues of the Ithacan as well as the New York Times, and then looking at some Cornell history because Cornell and Ithaca were closely tied during the civil rights movement. And then I interviewed Tanya Hutchins, who was really important in getting this planned and hearing about why she wanted to get this done and who was going to be there in advance. So some of the reporting from 1970 was confusing, to say the least, because it was not all lining up with the timeline of events, and there was some things that were missing. There was a lot of perspectives that were missing. There was almost no perspectives from the alumni actually in the Afro-Latin Society that were conducting these protests, these demonstrations. So going into this event was very much like, okay, I have background info, but now I need to fill in these holes. And that was, I think, part of the point of the commemoration as well, was to speak to that truth in history.
I love when a story has like a lot of background information that you have to do a lot of research. I'd want to know, could you speak more on like who your sources were and who you were able to speak to about this event leading up to it, and I mean as it happened?
Some of the main speakers at the event was Dennis Byron, Stephen Centeno, and then Vernard Macbeth. Vernard finished his education downstate, but he was here during the demonstrations, and so he's considered an alum. They sat and talked about the demonstrations, the anger, what was going on at the time, and shared some really interesting and heartfelt stories of experiencing racism on campus and what that was like for them. At the same time, also sharing about this incredible community that they found here. You know, Dennis Byron said, there was only 40 of us in 4,000 people. We were exactly 1%, and he talks to those people to this day. It was a really interesting event to hear them talk about Ithaca through this, like, really grateful lens. Like, I'm so happy for the education I got here. I'm so happy for the people I met here. And also, we experienced so much pain, right? And then all of the student and Ithaca College organizations were able to present back to them at the end of the event and say, hey, this is the things that you all started. This is the dance crew that we have. This is the LGBT center that we have that started with this demonstration. And also, they were able to have a conversation about what hasn't changed and how the ALS at the time moved progress forward. And then now, okay, here's the students now. What are we going to do to continue shaping Ithaca College and creating a better community?
Yeah, absolutely. And fun fact for our listeners, if you check out this story online or in the paper, I was the photographer for this story. So Alyssa and I did go to the same event.
The commemoration, the first talk, was the first event open to all faculty and students on campus. That was in Job Hall, although our assistant news editor, Prakriti, was able to attend the luncheon that welcomed the alumni to campus, and that was just for faculty.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really cool, like, that I was there with you, like for the commemoration, and now here I am talking to you more about the article, which I think is cool. So I was also there attending the talk with Stephen and Dennis and Renard and like a bunch of different faculty and like campus community members that were there to attend, and it was a really, really engaging talk. It was very informative, and also their anecdotes. These guys were funny because you can tell, like, you can tell that they've been friends this whole time. Like, it was like you were just hanging out with them when they were talking about it, and it was really engaging and really, I think, in a really important discussion to have. So based on how this article played out and like the events that you went to, could you speak on students like engaging with our campus's history and being aware of where this campus has been and what it's like today?
Absolutely. Bringing history onto campus for them was a way of remembering, or may a way of reminding everyone where we came from. But they also said, like, we have a mission of helping you all have that same voice again. Renard said, when ALS spoke, IC listened. So it was this voice on campus for this group of people, and everyone who was at the event loved meeting history. It was like meeting history in the room that you're in. The places on campus you're on was super important, because the first talk was next to former President Dillingham's office, where the demonstration happened. And then the next was inside the ALS lounge with the muralist himself. So we're looking up at this beautiful mural with all of these Black activists and Latino artists, and hearing him say his experience coming into a really diverse lounge at the time. I mean, the lounge was reserved for students of color at the time, and having that experience. So it was really like you were touching history and then seeing how it's grown. There's posters in the ALS lounge of all of the organizations that have grown since then and the ways that history has come together. So everyone was super happy to have finally met them and to have, like, bridge that gap.
That's really cool. I just really enjoy history and like learning about history. So I just think things like this are super cool and exciting. I don't know if anyone else, any of our other listeners, are into history like that. But I think especially like civil rights history, not only is it really interesting, but it's also just really important to know. Like, your, like, awareness is so important.
I think the article does a good job in wrapping up that entire event and the history at the same time, but I do wish more students could have been present, because when you were in these rooms and you were listening to these people, Nicholas Moore, the muralist in the ALS lounge, he played salsa music and he played music that he heard walking up onto Ithaca's campus at the time. He played a song from the record that he bought in the record store that apparently was on campus at the time. You know, it was a really powerful combination of art and culture and identity. And I think this momentum from IC Unity, the alumni group, and BIPOC Unity is really wanting to go forward. So, like, anything that is similar to this that they're going to be putting on in the future, absolutely attend.
Yeah, thank you so much. And that's all the questions we have for you today. Thank you again for joining us today on the Same Page. Just to wrap things up, could you share what was your favorite part about reporting for this article?
A lot of the alumni that came were name dropping their friends and their alumni, and they were saying these names, and I was like, bro, that's a building. I was like, you know, but they were like, oh, you know, Dryden, Sirachi, like, I loved those guys. And I was like, whoa, hold on a second. I was like, you're going to tell me that y'all knew the people that founded parts of this campus. So that was a really amazing time. I was like, oh, ALS had like a radio show that they worked with that came out of their communications majors at the time, and it was called Night Sounds. And I remember they were talking about Night Sounds, and then they dropped Sirachi's name. So of course, my journalist self, I have to look it up. And Sirachi, the man, you know, he helped form these, like, this cable and helped form what became WICB. And, you know, they were talking about the show that they had, like, when he was still at this school. And so that was, like, a crazy historical moment.
That's so cool. Great. So thank you so much for sharing. And it was great to talk to you today about this story. For our listeners, you can check out this article online at theithacan.org or in last week's print edition.
Thank you for having me. I hope everyone can get involved in any future events that IC Unity puts on.
Here with me now, I have Jess Moskowitz, who is a senior reporter at The Ithacan. And they've written primarily for the sports section. And this week, their front was on the Polar Plunge fundraiser. Jess, welcome to On the Same Page. Happy to have you. Please introduce yourself a little more and tell us about this article.
Thank you, Emma. I'm happy to be here. Yeah, I am a senior journalism major with a minor in sociology, and a lot of my focus is on the intersection of sport and social justice, how different teams and sport organizations are using their platform to help further social justice and community impact. So for this week, I really wanted to focus on the Student Athlete Advisory Council. SAC did their annual Polar Plunge event, which is supporting the Special Olympics. It's taken place, I think this was the 11th annual, up at Teganic Falls. And the reason I really just wanted to cover this was I was really inspired by the way that these athletes have rallied with one another and have really been committed to not only raising money, but raising awareness and showing up for a good cause in a 20-degree snowstorm. And yeah, I had the honor to speak with Kylie Sullivan, who was the chair of the community outreach sector of SAC this semester and this year. And she just spoke of the importance of using sport to further community engagement and how even though it's great that they were able to raise $4,100, the real impact is in showing up for community and being there for one another.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned that you spoke to the community outreach board member for the SAC. Could you speak on any of your other sources? How did you gather information for this article?
Yeah, so I began by emailing the two SAC co-chairs, Josh Miles and Hudson Hassler, and I was able to speak with Josh for this article. Hudson let me know that Kylie was the one spearheading the Polar Plunge outreach, and later learned in interviews with both Kylie and Coach Wahila, who's the field hockey coach and also the SAC faculty advisor, that this year SAC decided to break out into different committees, Bombers Supporting Bombers being one, which spearheaded the Blue Crew, which I was able to report on a couple of weeks ago, as well as a mental health and wellness team and a community outreach team, which Kylie spearheaded. And so I was able to speak with Coach Waugh as well as Josh Miles. And then after the plunge took place, I was able to speak with some athletes and just some community members who went to support but didn't plunge, and kind of finding out what their motivation was, whether or not they did go in the water or not, why they wanted to be there, what showing up for an event like this meant to them. And yeah, that was my source list, was just the SAC planning committee as well as those who decided or decided not to take the plunge.
Yeah, that's really cool. Before I read this story, I thought it was just about different students on campus who had like created little fundraising groups to go like on their own. Like I know the radio station sometimes participates in the Polar Plunge. So that was really cool, like reading the article and being like, oh, it's like really like this big piece of programming that the sports department is running, which I think is really cool. Because throughout the academic year now, I've had the chance to speak with a couple of sports reporters, and like Billy Wood, our sports editor, who has written a few fronts, and a lot of them have like that aspect of different teams at Ithaca College, our varsity teams, kind of wanting to do more community outreach. And like, yes, the coaches want to like enforce that, but also the athletes at the same time are super enthusiastic and like excited to do that kind of thing. So it's really cool to see it play out once again for fundraising purposes. Is really cool.
Yeah, and I think something that you just mentioned was these initiatives really are student-led and student-driven. When I spoke with Coach Waugh, she just couldn't speak higher of Kylie and praise Kylie's work, not just this semester, but throughout the whole year. And I think that's a testament to just the desire to do good and to use the platform of sport. One thing I like to say is that, you know, you're able to build impact outside the four walls of a stadium or a court or whatever it may be, that you know that the impact that the sport industry can have, and even on a college campus, that there's a lot of people who want to do good. And so that was really, empowering for me just to hear how student-driven it was, and that the most important thing to them was having people show up for a cause. It wasn't about the money. It wasn't about looking good. It wasn't about supporting anything other than Special Olympics and community engagement, and wanting to show up and do some good in the community was the running theme from the folks that I spoke to, which was really nice to hear and a big reason why I wanted to write this story.
Yeah, that's awesome. Could you speak on, like, what was the energy of that day from what you heard from the athletes?
Yeah, I think one of the questions that I asked some of the SAC members before the plunge was, when they look back on it at the end of that weekend, what they wanted to accomplish, what would feel like a sense of success for them. And a lot of them mentioned having other athletes feel like they did some good and feel a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment. And I think that that's exactly what happened. I spoke with a few athletes from both the SAC council and a soccer player, as well as some members of just SAC in general. And they said that, you know, yes, it was cold. You know, Ithaca was in the mix of a 3-day snowstorm last weekend. And so I didn't even know if the plunge was going to happen, because I know a lot of other athletic events had been canceled throughout the weekend. And so that was something that I wanted to bring up to them, was there a thought to cancel it? And what is that like, plunging into freezing water in the middle of a snowstorm? And they just said that it added to the excitement, it added to the environment. Josh Miles even said that he thought it was better because of the cold, and that it just adds this sort of auxiliary and just an anxiousness, like a good anxiousness, waiting there to jump and being freezing and being like, what am I doing? But knowing the reason that you're there is so far beyond yourself. And so, I mean, the athletes were really excited to be there. Like I said, they were able to raise $4,170, I believe was the final total. And each person I spoke to was like, wow, that's really amazing. That's not why I did it. You know, I wanted to be there to support my fellow, you know, my teammates and the Bomber community, the athletic community. And I wanted to be able to show up and show people in the community that sport is about more than just the game, right? And that they felt like they were really making a difference, which I thought was really beautiful. And that they wanted to continue to do events like this and be more a part of the community. So I think the energy was great. It was really, you know, supportive of one another, supportive of the cause, and I think the cold just added to it.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. I'm so glad that you found so much joy in writing this piece. I love when that happens, when you pick up a story to write and then you just get, like, I don't know, like, more excited about it the more you learn about it, and you're like, I can't wait to tell as many people as possible about this.
Yeah, I feel like I've tried to be really intentional this semester. Like you said, I'm a senior, so I'm graduating in 6 or so weeks, and I think this semester I've tried to be really intentional with the stories that I've picked up and the stories that I've wanted to tell through sport, and most of them have had some sort of angle relating to how sport is empowering others and empowering one another within the athletic community to be more. Whether that's understanding that, you know, athletes are people first and valuing the mental health of athletes, or the way that they're engaging in other community service aspects, uplifting social impact. And so, yeah, I think it's been really empowering for me to tell these stories, and I really have found a lot of joy this semester through writing and being able to share that student-led, again, like you said, that student-driven desire to use sport for something really good.
Yeah, that's all the questions I had for today. Thanks so much for joining us. Before you go, is there anything else you want to share?
I would just say that for any athlete out there, you know, you have a lot of power in your sport, and just make sure that you stay grounded and make sure that you use your experiences to help make some impact in the community. Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun, Emma.
Great, thank you. To our listeners, you can check this story out in this week's print edition or online at theithacan.org. I'm here now with sophomore Taylor Borash, who is a reporter at The Ithacan for the news and life and culture sections. And this week she wrote about the Fairy Fest that took place downtown last weekend. Taylor, welcome to On the Same Page. Please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so my name's Taylor. I'm a sophomore writing for film, TV, and emerging media major and a writing minor. I wrote about the Fairy Fest event happening this weekend in Commons, which was really fun.
Yeah, totally. I was able to stop by the event for a little bit while I was hanging out with a friend who was working on a photography project unrelated to Fairy Fest. So that was a lot of fun. We got to walk around. We saw at the outdoor store in the Commons, they have two dogs that belong to the owners. And the two of them were wearing like tutus that day. It was really cute. Everyone was very much in the spirit. So first off, could you speak on what your experience was like going downtown and attending Fairy Fest?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I went with one of my roommates, actually, because she also really wanted to go. And because we heard Girl Scout cookies were going to be sold there, and we were not able to go to Chili Fest to pick some up then, so we picked some up this time, which was awesome. Yeah, it was really fun because I like to cover events like that in the Commons that are just put together by the community of Ithaca. I come from a really small town back home. We don't have a lot of events like that, so coming out here and seeing the different ways the community comes together is always so much fun. And of course, the Commons were just decked out, like in the stores, all the businesses and everything, and the employees were all dressed up in like really cute outfits, like fairies and woodland creatures and stuff like that. So it was a really nice vibe. It was really fun to see.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love that Ithaca does so much in the community. I don't know if it's because it's also a college town that it like puts this effort forward, but I mean, the people, like the locals alone, are like so, like you can tell they love it. Like they are there. Like it is just as much for the locals as it is for the college students, if not more for the locals than the college students. But I love that like Ithaca kind of does like a festival, I feel like almost monthly, they have some kind of big event going on, which is so cool. So could you speak on why the Ithacan covered this event, even though it wasn't like an on-campus thing or something that Ithaca College specifically was involved with?
I think we, like the life and culture section, just kind of covers a lot of events in general that just happen in the town of Ithaca. Coming up, there's also another story that's going to be written soon about the 10-year anniversary, I believe, of Sunny Days of Ithaca. So there's just, whenever there's something going on in Commons, people want to hear about it, even if they're just on campus, and so the Ithacan writes about it.
Yeah, totally. And a little more on specifically your process with writing the story, who did you speak to? Who were your sources?
I spoke to mostly, I believe, 5 or 6 owners and employees of these businesses that were participating. The main one I spoke with was Greta Pearl, who's the owner of Alphabet Soup, the little toy store on Commons that I absolutely love, because she was the one who organized the entire event. It's her 3rd year organizing it, I believe, and she said she wants to keep doing it in years to come. So I had a really interesting conversation with her, even though she only had 3 minutes to speak with me because she was in the middle of making flower crowns with kids. And I was like, that's so cool. But yeah, I just spoke with a lot of employees and owners. And I also spoke with, it's always really hard for me to like just walk up to random people on the street and be like, hi, I'm from the Ithacan. Do you want to talk to me? Because that's just really a nerve-wracking experience in general. But I did end up approaching just 2 young adults, I believe they looked older, who were just dressed up very clearly, like in fairy outfits and stuff. And they were LARPers, like live action role players. So that was really interesting. They had a lot to say about their costumes and where they got the pieces from. And yeah, I just talked to people who were in charge of the different crafts and activities to do at the fest.
Cool, totally. I think going to events like this is a really great way to get more practice at like more of that like on the spot journalism, where you're like just walking up to people and being like, hey, could you speak about this at all? Because I feel like events like Fairy Fest or like Apple Fest, like, you know that like the attendees are there for like a good time, and like you can kind of like pick out like who's being the most engaged and who's having the most fun, and you're like, I bet they do have something to say on that. And so I think events like this are a really fun way to get, like, covering events like this are really fun to do just generally as a journalist. I think you've kind of touched on this a little bit so far, but could you speak on any challenges that came up in your reporting?
Yeah, the biggest challenge for me, especially with event coverages, although I think this is only the third event coverage I've done in my time with the Ithacan, but I almost tend to avoid them sometimes. I've been trying to do it less this semester, especially being with Life and Culture, where half of it is just event coverages. But in my time with news, I did tend to avoid it last semester because I just have a really hard time doing that on-the-spot journalism you mentioned, just because I do have social anxiety. So it makes it hard to just like walk up to people randomly and introduce myself. Because in my head, I'm always like, oh, they're not going to want to talk to me and they're going to like run away or something. Or they're going to be like, ew, the press. But in reality, I think it just helps to realize people like to talk about themselves and things they're proud of and stuff like that. So I just kind of have to steel myself and then walk up to people and talk to them. And at Fairy Fest, because it was such, even with the gloomy weather, because it was such a wonderful, like, happy environment to be in for so many people, people were really willing to talk, and they were willing to talk a lot, and they were very engaged in what they were doing.
Yeah, that's really great to hear. So I think with a lot of reporting, there's sometimes just, like, little tidbits that you hear from sources or just, like, from being at an event that you're like, oh, I really wish that could, like, be included in the article because that just sounds really cool, but that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. Did you have any kind of moment like that, or, like, just any, like, tidbit of information that, like, didn't necessarily fit within the angle but that you just found to be really interesting?
Actually, yes. The owner of Sunny Days of Ithaca, after I finished talking to her, she handed me a bunch of, like, flyers and, like, little things with QR codes. And she was like, here are a bunch of events that are coming up that I think you should cover. And I was like, oh, like, I kind of want to plug them. People always talk about, too, they're like, especially the last event coverage I did was on an art pop-up. So there were a lot of artists there. And people are always like, can you plug my social media? Can you put this in to like get my art and stuff out there? And I always feel so bad because I really want to put it in and like give them that recognition, but I can't. So a lot of the time what I do instead is I'll go on like my Instagram and just start like reposting their art and their events and things like that to try to almost make up for that.
Great. That sounds like just a lot of fun, a very fun event, very whimsical to write about. So sounds like you had a great time. That's all the questions I had for you today. Thanks so much for joining us. Before we go, is there anything on your mind that you want to share?
Not particularly. Just I have an article coming out with news soon, so read the Ithacan.
Awesome. Thanks so much again for joining us, Taylor. And to our audience, to our listeners, you can check out this article in our print edition this week, which has a gorgeous design. Have you seen it? It's fantastic. Shout out to our design section. It's lovely. You could check out this story in our print edition or online at theithacan.org. And if you aren't on campus and can get a print edition, you can look at a PDF version of how this article looks on the page, which I think is also a fun thing that we do. So yeah, thank you, Taylor.
Thank you for having me.
This has been On the Same Page. Thanks so much for listening, and thank you again to our reporters for joining us this week. You can find all of their stories online at theithacan.org or in the print edition around campus. You can find more episodes of On the Same Page and our other podcasts anywhere you stream podcasts when you search The Ithacan. Thanks again for listening. We'll be back again next week with more.